Have you ever felt that peculiar mix of awe and hope when someone you admire shares wisdom that changes everything? Russell Brand's Mentors has become a cultural touchstone for those seeking guidance in our fractured age. Endorsed by figures from Deepak Chopra to Gabor Mate, this raw exploration of mentorship has resonated with millions searching for authentic connection in our digital wilderness. What makes this book particularly fascinating is Brand's journey from self-destructive celebrity to thoughtful father and guide, a transformation made possible through the mentors who shaped him. In a world where heroes are routinely exposed and torn down, Brand offers something radical, a vulnerable account of how we might still find wisdom by allowing ourselves to be taught. As you read this summary, consider, who are the mentors in your own life? And are you truly open to their guidance? No one escapes childhood unscarred. Our raw animalism is crudely sculpted by events and best intentions, shaped by the random circumstances of our birth and early environment. Drives designed for survival, hunger, fear, desire for connection, thrash against screens and surge with sugar in our modern world. Children absorb influence like sponges, taking in both the intentional lessons and unconscious behaviors of those around them. As children, we don't consciously appoint mentors, we take what we're given until adolescence, when we grope beyond parental boundaries, searching for identity in an increasingly complex world. Our digital age places us in a constant now without being truly present, bombarded by information and stimuli that fragment our attention and understanding. Modern heroes rise and fall at dizzying speeds, their flaws magnified by the internet's unforgiving lens. Malcolm X was a rent boy before his transformation into a civil rights leader. Gandhi's peculiar personal habits have been extensively documented. Even revolutionary icon Che Guevara's darker aspects, his homophobia and ruthless violence, have been exposed. Too much information unweaves the carpets we might have walked upon, making it increasingly difficult to find unblemished role models in our hyper-connected world. Before conscious mentorship, Brand's early influences came through organic, unplanned encounters. He adored his older cousins, who introduced him to Morrissey's poetic rebellion and distinctive artistic voice. Morrissey, in turn, led Brand to discover James Dean's raw emotional authenticity and Oscar Wilde's brilliant social commentary and wit. Each figure retains a place in his constellation of self, a personal pantheon of influences that shaped his worldview and creative expression. We make ourselves, consciously or unconsciously, building patterns in the infinite tapestry of influences surrounding us. At 16, Brand left home seeping misfortune in Bermondsey, driven by the universal teenage impulse to break free and find one's tribe. There he found Lost Boys, 2 years older and seemingly wiser, who represented a tantalizing glimpse of independence and rebellion. Looking back, they were just Herberts, ordinary young men playing at being streetwise, but he needed them to be cool, to represent something greater than themselves. At 19, when he first encountered the already deceased Bill Hicks through recordings, he experienced what he describes as bodily transference, a profound connection that transcended the physical. Hicks' fearless truth-telling and radical authenticity literally put breath into Brand's artistic aspirations. Curiously, Brand's early mentors were predominantly remote figures, famous or dead or both, creating a safe distance for worship without the complications of real relationship. It wasn't until meeting Chip Summers, an addiction specialist with his own history of recovery, that Brand chose to consciously emulate another man to move from one state to another. This marks the crucial transition from unconscious to conscious mentorship, the deliberate selection of guides to help navigate life's complexities, particularly in the context of recovery and personal transformation. A recovering drug addict is a contradiction by definition, and Chip Summers embodied this paradox perfectly. A nerd bank robber, middle-class scum, pious atheist. When they met, Chip had been clean for 16 years, trawling London with zealous do-goodery, even interfering in Davina McCall's life and befriending Eric Clapton. Brand wasn't famous then, but cut him open and he was pure ambition, significantly contaminated with crack and heroin. Chip had been a far worse addict, intravenous, served real time for proper crime. In the warped ecology of junkies, that gave him status. Practically, Brand could trust him on addiction and quitting drugs. The most immediate lesson Chip taught was that talking about feelings is mandatory. Honesty is non-negotiable because you need trust for help, and they need the truth of who you are, not your press release version. Through his honesty, Chip showed it was safe to be vulnerable. Through his abstinence, he proved recovery was achievable. What Brand brought was honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, how, in 12-step jargon, the attitude he still deploys as a student in meditation, jiu-jitsu, or business affairs. When Brand read his life story to Chip, a therapeutic exercise that forces narrative commitment, Chip's response was devastatingly simple: poor, lonely little boy. It winded him, making him feel both understood and humbled. He no longer needed to construct false versions of himself. Though the mentorship succeeded in making Brand clean, he failed to learn the deeper lesson. Once the obvious symptoms of addiction were addressed, his encoded individualism reasserted, and for a decade he was lost in rudderless indulgence and illusion. This illustrates a crucial truth about mentorship. It works only when the student is truly ready to receive its deeper lessons. After his divorce, a deliberate detonation of a bond made in good faith, Brand visited Meredith in her modest North London room adorned with Zen Japanese art and books on Chinese medicine. American, an acupuncturist, calm and sharp, she seemed perpetually in her 50s during their decade-long acquaintance. When Brand mentioned his plan to cope with divorce through promiscuity, she asked pointedly, "What does it mean then, all this meditation, this program, this faith in God, if as soon as there is a problem in your life you turn to sex?" Her question revealed a hidden truth. His spiritual practices were hollow aesthetics, abandoned at the first sign of pain. His true religion was materialism, his true God, the ego. What he really meant by, "I want to be enlightened," was, "I want to feel nice." Ostensibly an acupuncturist he'd visited for back pain, Meredith became an appointed mother figure. Not to diminish his actual mother's role, but on some biochemical or philosophical level, he recognized Meredith as a portal for maternal nurture required in adulthood. A mentor is a type of hero and symbol. Much of their work happens in your own mind. Lying supine, he would listen to her talk about Lao Tzu, Zen, the Tao, the I Ching, Caravaggio, Michelangelo, R.D. Lang, parenthood, everything. She seemed always to assert that truth is deep, that we must keep going, that truth is hard. When she speaks of great artists, it's like she speaks to the universal, a language in light, a perennial truth in human expressions. Meredith offers spiritual courage couched in compassion, the mother's love with acceptance of duty. Do not stop. Do not deceive yourself. This maternal mentorship provided something his other guides couldn't, a connection to emotional wisdom and nurturing that balanced the more directive masculine guidance he received elsewhere. Between the pillars of Chris and Meredith stands Jimmy Mulville, a successful producer, married over 20 years, sober over 20 years, from a working-class background, supporting Everton FC, an only child with a dark side, funny and educated both classically, Cambridge scholarship, and in the School of Hard Knocks. After a disastrous holiday where romantic delusion shattered, Brand ran into Jimmy in an Indian airport. Jimmy ambled over during the flight and gave him Robert Johnson's Inner Gold, a Jungian account of mentorship, how we give another our gold to carry or hold. Taking their meeting at a time when romantic salvation was failing him, the location, an airport, and the book on mentorship as sufficient serendipity, Brand asked Jimmy to mentor him. Jimmy agreed, pointedly never offering unsolicited advice, instead meeting inquiries with his own experience. Some things, Jimmy said, landed perfectly. Being human is a me-too business. We're all in the mud together. Or, next time you see the signpost that points in the direction of a destructive relationship, don't go in that direction. Through Jimmy, Brand saw he'd outsourced many aspects of his life he needed personal responsibility for, making himself dependent because he feared growing up. He'd selected doomed relationships with women trying to satisfy religious impulses in practical dynamics. He realized that instead of appointing females to complete him, he must access the female aspect of himself, an open relationship with his creativity, emotions, and wildness. Jimmy, an atheist like Chip, lives like a holy man, as if the real world is the unseen world. He makes annual pilgrimages with his former classics teacher to places like Athens or Pompeii, connecting to the person he was. Brand found that across dualistic divides, boundaries often dissolve, male and female coalesce, and great atheists can possess spiritual reverence bordering on shamanism. When mentoring others, Brand isn't the fool raging at traffic lights, but the man they need him to be, offering guidance to men who, like him, turn to drugs and sex to cope with the absence of spiritual dimension. Perhaps young men go awry because nobody can hold them, not embrace, but parenthetically bracket them with care. No personal expedition could be more intrepid than Brand's venture into combat sports. Despite fitness emporiums in every town, he'd avoided them until age 40. Training without clear intention suffers from unaddressed futility. It's rehearsal, play. A good martial arts instructor instills realness that alters perspective. Some teachers were ineffective, stout Krav Maga instructors whose gory verbal descriptions made him balk. A capoeira nan who looked like a lethal refugee from Milli Vanilli gave such vigorous workouts that one of their lost boys couldn't walk for days. Benny Urquidez, Benny the Jet, was the real deal. Leathery, Johnny Cash magnetism, demure with a faint war drum beating. His bunion fists delivered jabs that defied thermodynamics, causing precise, profound pain. Surprisingly, he taught Brand a prayer system he still uses. Gratitude, 3 specific examples daily. Courage, where you'll need it today. Healing, remembering others' hardships. Synchronicity, asking to seek guidance from the unseen world. And alignment, having purpose beyond egoistic needs. After moving to rural life, Brand rebuilt himself through Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at Genesis Gym. His instructor, Chris Clear, titanium-skeletoned, quietly matter-of-fact, became a profound mentor. BJJ is a stratified environment with clear hierarchies where white belts and higher belts occupy different territories. The intimacy required was initially uncomfortable. Being pulled about, crushed, and bent up challenged him psychologically. Chris's teaching is transformative, releasing dormant energy through nonverbal education. BJJ is cerebral chess while someone strangles you, requiring pattern recognition and strategic thinking. Through sparring, Brand experiences moments where BJJ exists as an independent entity, channeled by subjugating the self. The philosophy teaches life lessons about suffering, opportunity, passivity, aggression, and surrender. One humbling experience being choked by another white belt unlocked shame from his adolescence. He realized he'd avoided confronting physical vulnerability since boyhood, when he lacked proper male initiation and retreated into addiction. Chris created the safe space needed to face this underworld and reclaim lost parts of himself. Bruce Lloyd stands as a growling Merlin, a hermit psychotherapist with 40 years clean who practices therapy like a psychotherapist. His unconventional methods and fierce reputation made him particularly suited for men in middle age struggling with addiction and identity crises. Jimmy, recognizing Brand's need for someone who could cut through his theatrical defenses, recommended Bruce specifically. After weeks of persistent phone calls and delayed responses, Brand finally met Bruce in a corporate Wedgwood Pottery building in Vauxhall. The setting itself was a study in contrasts, the polished corporate environment housing this wild-eyed sage. As Brand attempted to fast-forward through his well-rehearsed psychological history, a narrative he had perfected through years of therapy, Bruce aggressively propelled his chair toward him, physically cutting through the practice performance. "No, Russell, what is it? What is it?" The forceful interruption shattered Brand's carefully constructed walls. Bruce moves between levels of reality like a shaman, examining the subtler energies beneath surface phenomena with the precision of an archaeologist and the intuition of a mystic. His approach differs dramatically from conventional therapy. He's not interested in managing symptoms or providing comfort. Instead, he seeks to understand the deep motivating patterns causing pain, treating the psyche like a complex ecosystem rather than a mechanical problem to be fixed. While Brand had spent 14 years meticulously uncovering and discarding addictive behaviors at what he calls a glacial pace, Bruce accelerated the process by teaching him three fundamental principles that cut to the core of human suffering. 1. We are wounded by traumatic events that separate us from our intended path, creating deep patterns of avoidance and compensation that shape our entire lives. 2. We are programmed by family, culture, and schooling to have perspectives that don't work, adopting beliefs and behaviors that serve others' needs rather than our own authentic development. 3. We can change our perspective through conscious awareness and deliberate reprogramming of our responses to life. This shamanic approach to mentorship dives beneath surface behaviors to address the root causes of suffering, much like traditional healers who treat the spirit rather than just the symptoms. Bruce's ability to cut through practice narratives and reach the heart of issues represents a different kind of guidance, one that doesn't accept the stories we tell ourselves, but demands we confront the deeper truth of our existence. His methods, while sometimes jarring, create breakthrough moments by forcing immediate confrontation with reality rather than allowing gradual, comfortable evolution. Manya Bardic, a glamorous, longtime therapist with perfect hair and immaculate nails, became Brand's guide through the labyrinth of romantic relationships. Though their work began with individual sessions focused on nurturing his wounded inner child, her most profound impact emerged during couples therapy. Her office in Pimlico, with its muted lighting and comfortable low sofas, created a sanctuary where transformation could occur. Brand's romantic patterns were deeply flawed and destructively consistent. He habitually elevated women to divine status, placing them on impossible pedestals, while simultaneously casting himself as both savior and supplicant. This Madonna-whore complex manifested in instant, overwhelming infatuations that burned bright but inevitably collapsed under their own intensity. He'd unconsciously select partners who were emotionally unavailable or struggling with their own demons, ensuring a dramatic but doomed cycle of passion and disappointment. Manya's approach was uniquely powerful in its subtle sophistication. She would sit, slightly sunken into her chair, radiating an empathy that seemed to fill the room. Her gift lay in her ability to read the unspoken, through breathing patterns, micro-expressions, and the language of eyes. She possessed a rare combination of deep empathy for women's experiences and genuine sympathy for men's struggles, allowing her to bridge the gender divide in relationship dynamics. When Brand reconnected with Laura, his future wife, after a decade-long gap in their story, they made an unusual but wise choice. Their second date was a couples therapy session with Manya. This marked a dramatic departure from his previous demented romance relationships, where passion and drama substituted for genuine connection. Instead, they approached their partnership with unprecedented pragmatism and self-awareness. Manya's guidance proved invaluable as they navigated this new territory. She helped them excavate their unconscious relationship templates, shaped by family dynamics and media narratives. Through careful exploration, they identified how their expectations had been molded by everything from their parents' marriages to romantic comedies. She encouraged them to voice unspoken intentions and expectations, creating a foundation of radical honesty. This mentorship revolutionized Brand's approach to love and partnership. By understanding his tendency to make partners the fulcrum of all reality, and learning that sustainable relationships cannot be built on the hope of changing someone, he began to see women as complete, complex human beings, rather than idealized saviors or goddesses. This transformation was essential for his evolution into a husband and father, allowing him to build a relationship grounded in reality rather than fantasy, with genuine intimacy replacing dramatic intensity. The lessons learned in Manya's sunlit Pimlico office about authentic connection, realistic expectations, and the importance of seeing partners as they truly are became cornerstone principles in Brand's journey toward emotional maturity and lasting love. When someone invited Brand to their ashram in southern India, he initially thought, "I don't even know what an ashram is," but surprisingly, he actually went. He discovered that an ashram is a spiritually principled community, in this case Amra, near Kochi, founded on Amma's philanthropic ideology. He first encountered the hugging saint in Manhattan years ago with his yoga teacher friend Eddie. His individualistic conditioning brought cynicism to this new experience. Inside a 5,000-seat venue filled with Amma merchandise, he witnessed her sitting on stage surrounded by devotees managing the complex queue system for hugs. The experience reminded him of waiting for Father Christmas at Debenhams. When his turn came, there were no fireworks, just a simple embrace with distilled maternal warmth from this dark brown woman dressed in white. She murmured something in his ear in a language he didn't understand, but somehow seemed familiar. Years later, he met Amma again at Alexandra Palace in London, bringing his friend Mick and filmmaker Adam Curtis. After receiving another hug, a young Swami invited him to visit their Kerala ashram. The ashram was vibrant and chaotic, like the Star Wars smuggler's bar filled with oddities from around the world. Amma's humanitarian work is staggering. 5 universities, hospitals providing free health care, vocational centers, and orphanage, 125,000 free homes, 50,000 monthly meals for the poor, disaster relief programs. Despite her fame, she lives simply in a basic flat near where she was born. What Amma has intuited is that everyone wants and deserves love. In our crumbling culture of fear and anger, she demonstrates what can be achieved when we build upon the principle of unconditional love. As one devotee explained, "Perhaps we can never be entirely devoted to service like Amma, but from her we can learn to elevate that aspect of ourselves." Mentorship creates a bilateral arrangement with space for a difficult-to-define third component. Through mentoring others, Brand registers his own progress, seeing how differently he now views the world. Their gratitude heals him, and the counsel he offers, passed down from his own mentors, reminds him what he still needs to practice himself. He works with 3 young men from London support groups for addiction. Max, a soulful man with bullshit pluck, needed help breaking his codependent relationship that led to crack and violence. Stan learned to see himself as someone who helps others, rather than seeing people as resources, developing healthier conflict resolution. Marco, struggling with sex addiction as Brand did 10 years ago, found possibility in artistic rather than carnal creativity. There's nothing negative about being a mentor. Giving his time to others is hugely positive for someone whose tendency, unguided, can be selfish and self-obsessed. Hearing himself calmly offering solutions to difficult problems reminds him he's no longer who he used to be. He's in a state of becoming, guided by timeless principles rather than the truculent grunts of his endlessly hungry guts. His podcast became a sanctuary and symposium with great educators. When he considered interviewing a right-wing populist figure, his mentors, Jimmy and Meredith, both advised against it. For once, he actually followed their suggestion, indefinitely delaying the interview instead of following his own potentially destructive impulses. This was significant growth, recognizing his unconscious desire to create conflict in his peaceful life and his messianic belief that he could stitch together diverse political beliefs into a utopian tapestry. By being open to suggestion and letting go of his will in favor of others, he began to change. You can't think your way into acting differently, but you can act your way into thinking differently. Mentorship works best when you're awakened to your need for change, willing to learn, and have an explicit method to follow. With the right method and master, your willingness and surrender are all that's required for progress. Brand's mentors serve different functions. Chip Somers guided him out of chemical dependency. Meredith operates on a spiritual frequency using ancient wisdom. Jimmy provides unsentimental counsel he never ignores. Chris teaches jujitsu within a ritualized community that fosters bonding. Bruce exceeds therapeutic limitations through shared philosophy. Manya provides invaluable insight for his marriage, and Amma represents the possibility of relinquishing selfishness entirely. Radhanath Swami bridges sainthood in a way Brand can conceive of crossing, speaking both the language of popular culture and ancient India. When he visited them in Ireland, he elegantly shared stories from the Bhagavad Gita that captivated everyone, including Brand's skeptical father. When Swamiji approached his dad saying, "It is a great honor to meet you. You are a very beautiful man," Brand witnessed how love can reach through any veneer and touch the truth within. After rejecting his origins to survive and grow, he now sees he was born with everything he needed. His mentors have helped him accept who he is. A mentor baptizes the child and invites the adult. If you feel we live in a time defined by ugliness and meaninglessness, invite beauty and power into your life. Become willing to be taught, to connect to the invisible thread binding us all throughout time with love. What makes Brand's journey so compelling is its universality. We all need guidance. We all need to surrender our ego to learn, and we all have wisdom to share with others. In a world increasingly defined by isolation and polarization, the ancient practice of mentorship offers a path back to connection, meaning, and growth. The question isn't whether you need mentors, it's whether you're ready to recognize them and receive their gifts.